May it please the court, counsel. This case involves what is the definition of sexual performance under 568.080. In this case, my client sent a number of sexually suggestive emails to his niece. She told her parents. The parents informed an undercover police officer who then assumed her online identity. The police officer engaged over a series of months in an email exchange with my client. In the emails, my client requests that the officer do any number of sexual activities. What my client does not request is that the officer perform those activities. My client does not request that the officer do any kind of presentation. The activities that my client requests that the officer do are in the privacy of the 16-year-old's bedroom.
And there's a question. He does ask her to perform things and then tell him when she has, but not in his visual presence. Is that a requirement?
It's not just in the visual presence. If the court is going to accept the definition of sexual performance under Butler, then it also could be an auditory presence. But there's no presentation. He doesn't also ask the officer to describe the activity. So he doesn't say, go back to your room and masturbate, and here, come and tell me, describe it, tell me a story about it. He doesn't do any of those things. The request that he makes is to type the word done, and that's all. He does not request that there's any specific typing or writing or discussing on the part of the officer pretending to be the 16-year-old of any sexual activity. And so under the facts of this case, there is no performance because there is no presentation. The activity, the presentation, the performance aspect has to be sexual. It can't merely be typing a word done into an email. If this was a different case, if there was iChat or there's some sort of visual thing that's going on, or if the court is going to accept the definition of Butler, if they're on the phone while this is going on, then perhaps it would meet the definition of sexual performance. But what you have in this case is no performance because there's no presentation. This case is similar to a sex education teacher telling a classroom of students, here's how you masturbate, go back to your rooms, go do it at home, here's some fun things to try, come back and tell me how it went. Just say if you did it or not. That's all it is. And if this statute is going to criminalize that kind of behavior, then it violates the First Amendment because you can't criminalize that kind of speech. There has to be some sort of meaning given to the word performance. There has to be a presentation. And in this case, there is none. It doesn't meet the sufficiency of the evidence because he never asks her to show him anything. He never asks to describe anything for him. He never asks for any kind of visual or auditory anything, just to type the word done. And the circuit court got creative in fashioning the definition of audience to fit the facts of the case. And the circuit court found a definition of audience that included reader. And that cannot fit the facts of this case. Because if the criminal activity is the reading of the emails, then that's insufficient. The criminal activity has to be something that he's doing. It has to be something that he's requesting, engaging, soliciting, attempting. The criminal activity can't be him sitting in his room fantasizing about what may or may not be going on in some other place. The state suggests in its brief that because there's quote-unquote sexual gratification that's gleaned from this, that therefore it constitutes a performance. That's adding language to the statute that's not there. That's not a requirement of this. Whether or not there's sexual gratification is irrelevant. The idea is that there has to be an attempt, a solicitation toward getting a sexual performance, and there simply is none under the facts of this case. The state also asserts that, well, this First Amendment issue wasn't raised at the earliest possible opportunity. I'll remind this court that this was a bench-tried case, that the court had in front of it at the circuit level all of the facts. This is an as-applied argument. This is not that the statute on its face is unconstitutional. There may very well be many situations at which if you request a 14 or 16-year-old to perform a live sex act, as is in some of the other cases, or even perhaps in Butler, that would be permissible, and that would be fine for the legislature to deem that criminal. But that's not the facts of this case. This case is an email exchange.
What's the speech that you say was protected here by the First Amendment?
His speech to email sexual fantasies is protected under these circumstances by the First Amendment because he's not requesting any crime occur. He's not attempting to engage in any crime. He's not attempting to solicit for any crime. His speech of sending the emails is constitutionally protected.
Well, how else would one employ, authorize, or induce a child to engage in a sexual performance if not through language?
And so, and that may occur in some instance. And so an example of that would be if he had said to her, I want to FaceTime with you. I want you to engage in a sexual activity and I want to watch it. That would be an attempt to engage in a performance. That's not the facts of this case. He never requested that. He never asked for that. And so under the facts of this case, to criminalize what he's asking for would be a violation of his First Amendment rights because it's not criminal what he did.
And he wasn't asking the child to do anything.
He was asking the child to do something in private, away from him and at some separate time, not while he was listening, as in Butler, not while he was watching at some other time and location. It wasn't immediate.
He asked the child to engage in masturbation in front of him when he came to visit her. It never occurred, but he asked her if she would do it.
He asked her if she would do it, yes. He did not ask. And he did not try to view that as a presentation. Had he made a substantial step toward actually engaging in some sort of sexual contact with a minor, then that's perhaps a different crime. That's perhaps some sort of another kind of sex offense of some kind, a child molestation, a child endangerment, some other kind of offense. But it's not this. It's not a presentation. So asking to engage in sexual activity, in this case, if the niece had been under 14, the state would have charged him with enticement or attempted enticement, and that would fit the facts. But the legislature set the age for sexual performance at 16, not 14. And so the state didn't have any alternative. They tried to fit the facts of this case into a statute that it does not apply to.
Where does it say in the statute that the performance has to be in front of more than two people?
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't define sexual performance. The Southern District in Butler said that it's in front of an audience of one or more. They used a dictionary definition. And that's fine that the presentation is in front of an audience of one or more. And I think that that's an acceptable dictionary definition to use. But the statute doesn't define, in this section, it doesn't define sexual performance. You can go to Section 556. You can look at some pornography things. You can look at some other definitions to define what a sexual performance would be. I would say that the statutes are inconsistent. The definitions are not consistent across the board as to what is sexual contact, what is sexual conduct. And I think that this court, if it wants to use the definition of Butler, that an audience is in front of one or more persons, I think that that's fine.
What if we don't use that definition? Is it fatal to your case?
No. I mean, you have to have an audience. There has to be some viewing because there's two parts to that definition. There also has to be a presentation, right? That's part of a performance.
Why isn't it in this new computer age where setting apart the occasions when there was a long delay between their emails, there's that one exchange that's quoted where they were just constantly emailing back and forth and the officer pretended he was performing very sexual conduct or undertaking very sexual conduct and saying, okay, I did that, I did that, I did that, and the person's emailing back his fantasies and how he's physically responding to what he thinks is going on. Why isn't that a performance that's simply over email? I mean, is there anything that says it can't be over email as opposed to phone, as opposed to in person?
I don't think that there's anything that says that it can't be over email per se, but I think in order to be a performance, I think that he has to be an audience of what's going on.
And why isn't he, when they have these every minute back and forth, do this, tell me when you did it, okay, here's how I responded, now do this, I did it, here's how I responded?
Because the event has to be sex. The event can't be the email. The event can't be the typing. If the quote-unquote performance is her or the officer typing the word done, that's not sufficient. The event has to be sex, and that's taking place, the sexual contact or conduct or activity is taking place not at the same time. There's no indication or...
So someone who was blind, say, could never be convicted of this crime if somebody was describing to him what occurred.
But that would be different, Your Honor. If he had said, please describe what you're doing. Please describe to me how you're masturbating. Please describe to me how you're taking your shirt off, right? I don't know if that would fit under the statute, but that's not the facts that we have here. He never asked for those things. He just says, type the word done, and well, that's different.
He said, you have to explain your answer and perform the dare as though I am watching you.
That's right, right. And then there's a delay. And he doesn't insist on performance of the answer, and the officer doesn't provide it.
So if instead he had her say, I did this action that you asked me to, and I've now performed it, that would be enough?
I don't think that it would be enough, because under this performance aspect, that the action has to be the sexual contact. And so because there has to be some sort of sexual activity, just type.
So again, why would a blind person be, why is this any different if it's being described to them, here's what I'm doing?
So I don't think whether you're blind or you're deaf, I don't think that that fits in. I think it's the action of typing versus the actual
action. But she was performing the actions, and that's what was the performance, and she was communicating that she was doing that.
Well, the issue is that he has to be requesting, right?
He did. He asked her to do this and let him know when
and
she
And let
did
him
it.
Know. Not
and
let
she
him,
said, I'm doing it, and I'm letting you know.
Right. Not let me watch. Not let me hear. Not to be an audience during the sex. He's only the audience of the typing. He's not an audience for the sexual part. Had he said, let me FaceTime, right? Even if you were blind, let me FaceTime, but I can still hear you. And that goes back to the Butler case. He's not an audience to the sex. He's an audience to the typing. And that's not the same thing.
Why is typing different than speaking?
Because it's not a sexual contact. The legislature can't, in this case, and hasn't chosen to outlaw sexual speech, right? If the legislature had said, you can't request that a 14-year-old or 16-year-old say sexual things, we'd be here on a different matter. But that's not what the legislature said. The legislature said you can't ask a 16-year-old to perform sexually, not talk sexually explicitly. That's a different issue.
But this, your argument is based on the premise that perform requires an audience of one or more. I mean, that it can't be, I can't be convicted for enticing this 15-year-old to go in the other room and perform a sexual act.
Not under this statute. Maybe under another one, but not under this performance, sexual performance statute, no.
And what is it in the language of the statute that makes that conduct not illegal? I've enticed a minor to go into another room and engage in a sexual performance, to perform a sexual act.
Performance has to mean something. We have to give meaning to the word performance, right? It has to be a presentation. It has to be in front of an audience. It has to have some involvement.
You're saying it has to be simultaneous with his knowing about it, in effect. But
I think so, yes, because that's what, like this here is a performance. I'm in front of an audience. There has to be some meaning given to the word.
So what if I listened afterward, because these are archived? So I listened afterward. Is that?
I don't think that it's a sexual performance. And then you get into the whole issue about pornography, right? If you said, take a picture, send it to me later, right? That would maybe fit a different crime.
And is there more than one definition of performance? You said the Southern District picked performance that has, but isn't performing the act of doing? I mean, it's the act of performing is a performance.
Right, and then I would agree that that would be a presentation. In the statute, in a different section, not in this section, unfortunately, it defines performance as having any sexual performance as essentially a sexual performance, as having engaging in sexual conduct. There aren't good statutory definitions.
Your time has expired. You have some time in rebuttal.
Thank you.
How does a dictionary define performance? To perform? To do something? How does a dictionary define performance?
According to Butler, the dictionary defined it as a presentation before an audience. I don't have off the top of my head what the current dictionary
is. If I perform my job, though, it doesn't have to be before an audience. It depends. How do we know how the word performance was used in this statute?
I think you look at... Well, I don't think the statute gives you much guidance as to how performance is used. The best that we have is the Southern District describing it in Butler. And in Butler, they said a presentation before an audience, but they also focused in Butler on the fact that a presentation doesn't have to be a visual presentation. And the focus is more on the exploitation of the child. And that's what the statute, the purpose of the statute was to not allow people to use children in sexual performances to exploit them in that manner.
Well, the statute, there is a section that defines sexual performance.
That's true. It's 556.061.
And it says any performance, so it uses the same word, or part thereof, which includes sexual conduct by a child who's less than 17.
That's true. And it does not, that statute does not define the word performance. It just says any performance.
If the defendant had enticed this 15-year-old to engage in sex acts with him, is he also guilty of violating 080? Because he's observing it, he's the audience, it is a sexual performance.
You mean if he were actually present in the room and...
If the two of them engaged in sexual intercourse with each other in the same room contemporaneously, would, under your theory, would the defendant have violated 080 in addition to whatever other crimes he committed?
I think he would. I think that he would probably be charged with the higher offense of whatever statutory sodomy or statutory rape. But he could also, I think it would also fit under this definition of use of a child in a sexual performance.
I mean, do we have a rule of construction that either prohibits or disfavors making the same conduct necessarily violative of two separate criminal statutes?
I'm sure there is. I don't think it would be the exact same conduct, though. It would be... I'd have to think about that one a little more. I think that it'd be harder to call that a performance, maybe. I just really have to think about that one a little more.
I'm just concerned about this idea that if a performance requires an audience, but the audience can be the defendant, then that might overlap to such a degree that you actually have two crimes punishing exactly the same conduct always.
Well, then wouldn't double jeopardy come into play and you wouldn't be able to convict them of both? You'd have to pick which one you'd want to charge them with.
The legislature can make the same conduct violative of more than one crime, although there may be other elements, too.
That's true. And in this case, the defendant was the audience, and the two previous cases that the Southern District dealt with this statute, use of a child in a sexual performance, it discussed how the defendant himself was the audience in the two other cases. The first was George, and in George, the defendant made his wife and daughter, or wife and son, engage in sexual conduct with each other, and he was the only audience member. He was the one who was standing there. The Southern District said that while he was the director of the performance, he was also the audience, and that was fine.
What about Butler?
In Butler, it was the defendant who was also the audience, and Butler is very similar to this case. The only real distinction between Butler and the current case is that the conduct happened while the defendant was talking to the victim on the telephone, whereas here, the conduct happened while the defendant was inducing the victim through emails. And while these emails, some of them did have lengthy breaks of time in between the emails, there were many emails that happened within minutes of each other, making this no different than if they were engaging in an internet chat, if they were using some kind of chat service and typing back and forth.
And how did Butler define sexual performance?
Presentation before an audience.
So do we have to overrule Butler to rule for you?
I would think so, yes. Because this is the same type of audience as it was in Butler. In Butler, the only difference was that the defendant heard, it was an auditory, he was an auditory audience, as opposed to here where he is an audience by means of reading what the victim performed.
But do we have evolving definitions with cyberbullying and all the social media stuff that's going on, texting, that kind of stuff, that the concept of texting and of internet and webnet kind of stuff is evolving with the society now, and definitions are consequently evolving also?
I do think the manner in which you can conduct a performance has changed based on the modern forms of communication. So if the defendant were text messaging the victim instead of emailing him, it would have been, or emailing the victim, it would have been the same thing. It would have been maybe more swift in the responses sometimes, because text messaging is thought of as a faster response, but there would be no real distinction.
What about my hypothetical where the defendant says to the 15-year-old, go in the other room and masturbate, period. Don't tell me about it, don't email me, don't make a film of it. Just, I am directing you to do that. Is that a performance?
If you go based on Butler's description, or Butler's definition of the word performance, then I don't think there would be an audience in that situation, and I don't think it would fit under this.
Why is it the defendant, the audience, even though he's not watching or listening in, he is getting whatever, he gets exactly what he wants out of it. In other words, he is as much of a viewer or listener as he wants to be. You know, his idea of a performance is if you do it in another room and he can't see or hear you, but it's still, he's requiring you to engage in a sexual performance. It's just that the way you would listen to it, or the way you want to be an audience member for it, maybe isn't the way he would want to be an audience member for it.
And I think that would require a slightly more expansive definition of the word performance. If we had a more extensive definition of performance, then I think that would count, and it would be the same thing. As for the opposing counsel's sex education teacher example, I definitely think that if the sex education teacher tells students to go home and masturbate and come back and tell me how it went, assuming that there would be that there was evidence of sexual gratification as required by the definition of sexual conduct in 556, I definitely think that the sex education teacher would be committing the crime of use of a child in a sexual performance. It makes no material difference that the conduct, the actual sexual conduct, is slightly separated from the performance of when the victim tells the defendant that the conduct has been completed. Just because the defendant, or just because the victim didn't spell out for him exactly what it was that she had completed, he knew what she had completed, because you look in the context of his emails to her, her apparent completion of the sexual conduct, and then her coming back to him and telling him, I've done what you've asked. He knows exactly what it is that she's done, because he told her to do it, and he told her to respond in this manner. And it shouldn't make any material difference that they happen at slightly different times. If you go to the example of a blind person.
Wait a minute, but in what you just said there, which is the performance?
The performance is...
The sexual act or the email?
It's a combination of the two. You have to look at it in total. The thing that's happening in front of an audience is when the victim is saying, done. But the actual conduct occurred, and the done is evidencing the fact that she actually did. She completed the sexual conduct. So you look at it in total, it was a cycle, it was an ongoing performance that the defendant was directing. It was much like a play that the defendant was saying, okay, now you do this, and the victim would apparently go do the crime, or go commit the sexual conduct, and then come back and tell him that she had done it, and then he would escalate his next request or his next inducement. So it was really a combination of all of these, the back and forth between the defendant and the apparent victim.
Is the use of the term sexual performance in a criminal statute unique to Missouri?
I know that New York has it has a statute that is, I think, exactly the same as use of a sexual performance that we have here, only they actually define sexual performance as, I believe it was something along the lines of it restricted it to a visual performance, if I recall correctly. That was in Ferber.
Any other states?
Not that I'm aware of. That's the only one that I currently know of. And if you go back to the example of the blind person, could a blind person never be guilty of use of a child in a sexual performance? You can also look at a hearing impaired person, because the way hearing impaired people communicate, say over if they're communicating over the phone, it goes through a relay operator. The hearing impaired person will type out a message to the relay operator, who will then communicate the message to the person on the other end of the phone line. The person on the other end of the phone line would tell the relay operator what it was that they want to respond, and then the relay operator has to type out the response to the hearing impaired person.
So blind people generally can't read email.
That's true. I was going on the hearing impaired example. Yes, that's true.
But the hearing is another good example. I'm just saying, we're mentioning blind people, they can't read email.
That's true. I think there are services out there that actually read emails to blind people. I'm not entirely certain about that one.
But that'd be more than one person. That's another story.
That's true.
Are there synonyms that you use for the word performance?
Synonyms.
I mean, is it experience it? I mean, is that enough that you have some engagement that you have? Is it, how do we limit performance under your definition of that word?
I think that it's fine to limit performance to a presentation, as the defendant suggests. The presentation here would be the combination of when the victim apparently completed the acts and then presented the fact that she had completed the acts to the defendant. If you limit it to presentation, then there are parameters. There would definitely be guidelines as to when something would be use of a child in a sexual performance.
Well, it seems like the legislature defined different acts, different ages differently. So if you're under 14, it's a different standard. If you're over 14 to 16, it's a different standard. And if you're over 16, I assume it's some other standard. So you assume the legislature understood what it was doing when it made these distinctions. Performance is not the same as if you're under 14. But if you're 16, it's a different standard, a little higher standard, I guess, or lower standard.
Different statutes different crimes have different age limits, but this particular statute only says under the age of 17. And it's the one that has the performance. So I'm not aware of any other definitions of performance that have different standards for different ages.
Looking just at the dictionary definition of performance, it seems the first definition is performing a musical or dramatic or act or entertainment before an audience, but the second definition is the act of performing the piece or play or music. It doesn't refer to audience, does it? How does that affect our decision?
I think that weighs heavily in the state's favor, and that if there doesn't have to be an audience, and if you adopt that definition, then the performance could be any time the defendant told the victim to do something, regardless of whether she came back and told him that it had been completed. If there are no further questions, I'd ask this court to uphold the defendant's conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
The court just indicated that it was the act of performing, but performance has to mean doing something in front of someone.
Why?
Because otherwise you're just doing it in the privacy of your home. That's not a performance. Doing it in your own car and not in front of anyone.
It's not your definition. It's not an audience, but why it doesn't? I mean, it is.
Because performing isn't just doing the act. Performing is experienced in, as the court read, a singing musical,
I played my guitar this morning about 6 a.m. and nobody was listening, was I performing or
no,
not?
No, you were not performing.
Not even for myself.
Not even for yourself. And under a criminal statute, doing something to yourself, right, under these circumstances, isn't criminal. And so if you think about your guitar example, and instead of playing the guitar, you're completing a sex act with no one there to watch, there's no performance.
And so it's like a tree falls in the forest and no one sees it as it really fallen.
And there's no performance. And then you can't be guilty under the statute.
Do you have any case besides Butler that suggests you have to have an audience to have a performance?
I think that when you look at the definition that the court read and all of the other dictionary definitions, including the one that the circuit court used, performance is to perform, right? And that's what the legislature says. And they didn't go beyond that. I assume because that it means something that's just not done by yourself, right?
But how do we know that what the legislature intended by that? Do we know the legislature intended to prohibit conduct where you would be performing in front of other people, or did the legislature intend to prohibit minors doing this at all?
And I think if the legislature in a criminal statute had intended for minors to not masturbate at all in the privacy of their own rooms, then they should have legislated that. That's not what they did. If the statute is so ambiguous, then you have to find in favor of my client if the language is that unclear.
They found it was a criminal act for an adult to direct the performance of a sexual act.
And watch. This is to do with sex.
Where does it say watch?
Or listen to, that it has to do with performance, that what is the essence of performance, right? To differentiate between all the other sexual activities that they prohibited, pornography, taking pictures, taking video, there's a long list of things. Performance is one of them.
Are there any cases that the definition of performance that Judge Stith read, that there would be constitutional prohibitions to defining it in that manner?
I think that goes back to my argument that if you're going to say that a performance is having someone type or write or speak a sexual story, then that's going to violate, under these circumstances, the First
that's
Amendment.
That's not what this case is talking about, a physical act. Well, that is communicated.
But that's not the definition that the judge read. And the definition that we're talking about in terms of performance, that's at issue, is whether or not this typing is the performance or whether or not the sexual act is the performance. And if you're going to say that this statute says that you can't type sexual things and that you can't write sexual things, then that violates the First Amendment.
No one suggests this would be a crime without the conduct. Why do you say you have to only go down to, if there's a performance that's communicated and for his sexual enjoyment, why doesn't that fit within the definition?
So if he's just writing things out there into the world and he's imagining it, as Justice Wilson talked
and
about.
And it's occurring at his direction, and then he's told that, yes, I've done this at your direction.
But the performance has to be sexual. It has
yes.
to be the performance.
And why isn't the performance sexual when she masturbates at his direction?
Because he's not viewing it, he's not listening to it, he's not experiencing it at the time. It's a circular argument, but you have to give meaning to the word performance as opposed to depiction, as opposed to participation, which would be a sexual act that we've talked about. You have to give meaning to that word performance. It has to mean something just besides telling somebody to go do something.
It means conduct.
It means conduct that then you then observe in some fashion.
Well, what Judge Stith said is that a dictionary definition of performance is the action or process of carrying out or accomplishing an act.
And I believe that's the second part to that definition.
That's the second definition, yes.
Right. So and that the first part of that definition has to do with singing or dancing or other thing.
It's the first definition, not different parts. The way it works is there's different definitions. The number one definition was singing and acting. Number two definition is the one described by Judge Stith and Judge Wilson.
And
not one part or the second part. They're both different definitions, but still in the same dictionary.
And I think that you have to read them together. I don't know what the third one is under that either.
The execution or accomplishment of work, acts, feats. The fourth is a particular action, deed, or proceeding. And the fifth is an action or proceeding of an unusual or spectacular kind.
And I think that would fit into the definition of performance involving an audience.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
That will be taken under advisement.